being here. It is, let me just mention something real quick. It is summertime. We have a lot of people on vacation and this, that, and the other. That said, you notice somebody that's out, been out a week or so, give them a text, send them a message on Facebook, give them a call. It's good to know when you're missed. I just encourage you to do that. This morning, I am not going to be, I don't think, I'm going to be very, really long. I've got a very narrow focus that the Holy Spirit wants me to center in on this morning. We've been talking about living in the Spirit, and many of you have talked about how you've enjoyed this series, how it's ministered to you, and in particular what we're doing on Wednesday nights, how that we're taking this subject going deeper on Wednesday nights. So we've been talking about living in the Spirit and what it means, and I encourage you to go, if you haven't been a part of this series, go and listen to these on Sunday on the website. You can click on them there. I think they will be refreshing and ministering to you. This morning, I want to talk about empowered with the Spirit. Empowered with the Spirit. In particular, I want to talk about what in Pentecostal circles and charismatic circles is known as the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I just want us to take a moment, just a few moments this morning, and talk specifically about that, and I hope it'll be enlightening and informing as well as empowering to you. Let's just take just a moment and pray. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, and that he petitioned and you sent and the Holy Spirit into our lives. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that, and we come now to this very critical part of our understanding of what it means to live in the Spirit. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come speak to our hearts right now. I pray that for a few moments, Lord, you would sweep away biases that we may have because of things that we've heard or taught. Lord, I pray that you would sweep away, God, biases that we may have because of things we've seen or experienced. And let us for a few moments this morning hear again what the Spirit's saying to the church. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Did you know that 650 million believers worldwide, let me say that again, 650 million believers worldwide are of a Pentecostal persuasion. By that I mean they subscribe to the doctrine of the baptism and the Holy Spirit. 650 million practice. Actually, 1.5 billion, and these are actually old numbers. They were the most recent ones I could find, but they were old numbers. 1.5 billion are associated in some kind of way with the Pentecostal movement worldwide. 1.5 billion. I say that because in a hundred years. Pentecostalism has grown to this place. In fact, Pentecostals, listen to me, are now the second largest theological segment in all of Christianity worldwide. Pentecostals are now the second largest theological segment worldwide. Worldwide. The only larger segment is Roman Catholics. And get this, 75 million of them are charismatics, speaking in tongues, charismatics. How in a 100 years, you understand that 100 years from a small group of believers in Azusa Street, California, it has now grown to be the second largest theological segment in the entire world. And yet, in the midst of that, it is Pentecostalism and baptism in the Holy Spirit is misunderstood and dismissed and disbelieved and actually taught against. And it causes for much confusion, not only in Christendom as a whole, but also within Pentecostal churches. Many of you who are sitting here this morning have come from backgrounds of other theological beliefs, and you sit here, and that is the nature of congregations today, that they are made up of many Pentecostal, many teachings about Pentecost and baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, I felt as part of this series this morning, I felt it absolutely necessary that we take just a few moments and center in on this idea about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And in particular, what does the Bible say about it? Because here's what I know. You can teach all you want. You can have, there can be all kinds of experiences and there can be all kinds of teachings. The bottom line is, what does the Bible say about the baptism in the Holy Spirit? That is the bottom line. And so I want us to take just a few moments this morning, and I'm literally just going to teach through some scriptures. You're going to need your Bibles. You're going to need your Bibles this morning. So get your Bibles, get your Bible in your lap, get your, if it's your electronic Bible, get it in your hand. I want to literally walk through some things, just a few scriptures this morning, and let's talk about it in a very, very sequential way. The first thing that I want us to understand is this, is that this idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where does it originate from? Where does that come from? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. The setting, and I'm going to have to click through these, so stay with me. The setting is John the Baptist is out baptizing in water, and in the, most likely in the River Jordan. He's out baptizing, and he says this, verse 11 is on the screen, but let me read it to you. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let me say it again. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. This idea of baptism in the Holy Spirit was prophesied by John about Jesus. John is talking about Jesus here. And there's two things that are significant about this. First, one is this, is that it is Jesus who is the baptizer. This thing, listen, you do not need to be in fear or in angst about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer. I just want that to sink into you this morning. I want that to get into you because sometimes there's this angst about baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's this weird, strange, odd thing. And yet Matthew 11:3 tells us Jesus is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. It's not a weird, strange, odd thing at all. It is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is the baptizer. The second thing about this that is absolutely crucial is this verse paints for us a picture of what baptism in the Holy Spirit actually really is. What baptism in the Holy Spirit is. And this idea of baptism is used, that picture is painted over and over and over and over again. And a lot of people just do not understand what baptism actually is. And the word baptized there means to immerse. It means to plunge under. To carry under. To immerse. And so Jesus is the one, you see, baptism in the Holy Spirit is this immersion into the Spirit. It's this immersion into the Holy Ghost. Let me see if I can illustrate this some real quick. I need somebody that's, since I'm so short, I need somebody of a small frame. Ian, come help me. Come help me, buddy. I pick on Ian a lot, but we're buddies, right? Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Yeah, uh-huh. You got me up here in front of everybody. Stand right here. Stand right here. Put your arms across your chest like that. If I'm going to baptize Ian, right? If I'm going to baptize Ian, now watch this. Just hold yourself straight. Am I going to baptize Ian? Now listen. If I'm going to immerse him, right? Who's in control here? Ian's not in control. But who is the one baptizing? It's Jesus that's baptizing. And he's baptizing us. He's immersing us in the... I don't think he can hold it much longer. Here's my point I'm trying to make to you this morning. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is not something weird, odd, as maybe some of you have been taught. It is Jesus who takes you and immerses you. Let's do it again, buddy. We can do it one more time. And immerses you into the Holy Ghost. He is in control. He is in charge. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus has you, and he's immersing you under the power and the influence of the Holy Ghost. That's what baptism in the Holy Spirit is. It's been made to be out to be all kinds of so many things, and certainly I could teach on it for days and days. But at its core, that's what baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus taking your life that you have offered as a sacrifice and said, okay, you've given me your life. I own your life. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to take you and immerse you. I want to submerge you. I want to put you fully and completely under the influence and the power and the control of the Holy Ghost. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's what baptism in the Holy Spirit is. And Jesus, we are told, it was prophesied that Jesus would be the baptizer. Now, that is kind of that sets the ground then. And I want to show you a couple of things, how that actually works out in the disciples' lives, because the disciples are a great picture for us. Let's walk this through and see how it's experienced by the disciples. And you're just going to have to stay with me this morning. Turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Jesus has risen from the grave. He has appeared to a few people from time to time. And we preached about this and taught about this, but he has appeared to a few from time to time. He has risen from the grave. There comes a moment when the disciples are all gathered together, and Jesus comes, and he comes into their midst right in that moment. Now remember, now this is the first time they have a personal encounter with the risen Savior. The first time Jesus has gone to the cross, he's died on the cross, he went to the grave, Mike, he rose from the grave, and this is the first time they have this personal encounter with the risen Savior. And Jesus says to him, as he walks into the room, he says to them, peace to you, as my Father has sent me, I also send you. Watch this now. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive you the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you have anyone's sins, they are sins forgiven. If you do not forgive, they are not forgiven. And he says to them, he breathes on them and says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. What's happening here in John chapter 20, this is the first time they have an encounter with Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. And when Jesus tells them, receive the Holy Spirit, they recognize and realize that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they put their confidence and trust in him and they receive the Holy Spirit. Now just stay with me here. This is their salvation experience. In fact, if you read the rest of the story, Thomas was not there. Remember, Thomas was not there? And Thomas said, unless I see, I will not believe. And Jesus came to him a second time. About a week later, Jesus came to him a second time. And he said to this Thomas, he said, Thomas, feel my hands, feel my feet. What are they doing? He's saying, what? Believe in me. I'm the resurrected Savior. I'm the Lord. And here's what he says to Thomas. He says, Thomas, stop doubting and believe. This is their salvation experience. And they have received the Spirit of God. And here's what's, I just want to be clear here. A lot of people have been misunderstood, and a lot of Pentecostals have misunderstood because they don't understand what is this? There's this teaching that, wrongly so, that you don't receive the Spirit until you are baptized. That's not so at all. The disciples, John 20 is their salvation experience. They have found the resurrected Savior. They have walked into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one that went to the cross, rose from the grave. They personally have experienced him and they have believed. And then he says to them, receive the Spirit. I want you to know this morning, when you were saved, you received the Spirit. Jesus Christ breathed his life into you. Aren't you thankful this morning that he is the Lamb that was slain, the one who is worthy that we talked about this morning, and he breathed his Spirit into you. That's how you get saved. That's the proof that you are saved, is Jesus' Spirit, his life, his breath has been breathed into you. Now, I want you to keep that in mind. John chapter 20. In fact, please go later today or later this week and read these scriptures again, and you can see from Thomas's reaction how this is very clearly their salvation experience. Because Thomas said, I do not believe. And Jesus said, stop doubting and believe. I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord. I am the resurrected Savior. Receive the Spirit. So I want you to understand this morning, when you got saved, you received the Spirit. Now, again, I told you I was just going to kind of walk you through this. Now, here's what's fascinating about this, is that their experience, the disciples' experience with the Spirit does not stop there. Turn over just probably in your Bible one page to Acts, the first chapter. One page, Acts, the first chapter. Now, Jesus, this is another occasion. And again, this is teaching. I'm just walking you through this morning. One chapter, Jesus is standing here. He is about to ascend. He's about to go away. And being assembled together, notice what it says here, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Spirit not many days from now. Now, does it dawn on to you what's going on here? This is one of those wait what minutes. There's a lot of wait what moments in the Bible. This is one of those wait what moments. These disciples have already received the Spirit. Are we all on the same page here? These disciples, John 20, they've received the Spirit. Mike, Jesus breathed on them and he said, receive the Spirit. They received the Spirit, right? These disciples received the Spirit. And yet, just one page over, now I don't know how many days that is, but in your Bible, it's just one page over. Jesus says this. Says not many days from now you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Here's why this is crucial. It's because many of you have heard that you receive all the Spirit that you need at salvation. Many of you have been told and believe that you receive all the Spirit that you need at salvation. The problem is Jesus didn't think so. Are you following me? Are you walking with me? These men had received the Spirit. The life of Jesus Christ had already been breathed, literally. The resurrected Savior had stood in front of them. Come here a minute, Paul. I hope my breath is fresh this morning. Jesus Christ had stood, the resurrected Savior. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The resurrected Savior. He got up out of the grave, Dean. He was the resurrected Savior. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Spirit. That's the Spirit of God that has been breathed into them. And then just a few days later, he says to them, stay at Jerusalem and wait. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Here's the point I wanted to make to you this morning. Many people operate wrongly under the idea that you got all of the Spirit you needed at salvation, and yet Jesus said to the disciples, I want to baptize you in the Spirit. See, listen to me this morning. Receiving the Spirit, thank you, Paul, receiving the Spirit is God's life and his breath being breathed into you, making you alive, giving you eternal life. You are saved, redeemed, and you are on your way to heaven. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is he's saying, look, I now want to take you, now that you are mine, now that you belong to me, here's what I want to do. I want to take you and I want to submerge you. I want to submerge you under the total control and influence of the Holy Spirit in your life. I want to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Do you see the difference here? Many people are not taught this. They believe this one line about you receive all the Spirit that you need. And yet, Jesus said that actually is not so. In fact, turn over one more page. Turn over one more page. And it's the famous verse that is used over and over again by Pentecostals. Notice what it says. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind or a rushing wind or a mighty wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Watch this. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You have to just stop and say, wait a moment. What is going on here? Do you understand? These are the same disciples that were in John 20. They received the Spirit unto salvation. They are now being baptized in the Spirit, submerged totally and completely, their life submerged totally and completely under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit. Two different things. Two different things, both with incredible purpose. The purpose of salvation is for God to breathe his life into you, to redeem you, to give you life, abundant life, and eternal life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is to empower you to live that life. There it is. To empower you to live that life. In fact, there are several other examples. There are several other examples of this, and I'll just mention them for the sake of my voice and time this morning, because I want to make a couple of points of this there. But there are several other examples. Acts chapter 8. Don't turn there now, but go sometime and read the story. Acts chapter 8. Philip goes down, and he's preaching in Samaria. And man, they have revival. I mean, they have revival. People are saved. People are redeemed. The story says that demons were cast out, people were healed, people were saved, people were baptized in water after they got saved. I mean, they were having a revival. In fact, they were having so much a revival that Simon, a sorcerer in the city, came down to see the revival. Aren't you ready for a revival like that, where the sorcerers come to see what God is doing in the mind? I mean, they were having revival. And then read the story a little bit further, and it says that Peter and John heard that they were having a revival. Isn't that just like an evangelist? Here's a revival going on somewhere. He wants to go down there and get in the middle of it. But that's okay, because Peter and John went down. Now watch this now. Read the story carefully. Acts chapter 8 sometime. Read it carefully. Philip preached, and they were saved. They were redeemed. Their lives were transformed. Then Peter and John came and says to them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" They weren't saying, "Are you redeemed? Are you saved?" Clearly they'd been saved. Man, they were delivered. They had already been baptized. They were delivered. What he was saying to them, "Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit?" And they said, "No, not yet." And Peter and John laid their hands on them, and it says it, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you see? Two experiences. Not competing. There's this farce that somehow these are competing, and there's somehow one is better than the other. And that's just simply not true whatsoever. It is this work of God in your life through salvation, and this work of God in your life through baptism in the Holy Spirit. You can go to Acts chapter 19. By the way, you can see the same pattern in Acts chapter 9. You can see the same pattern in Acts chapter 10. You can see it repeated in Acts chapter 11. But you go to Acts chapter 19. Paul is, he's gone down to Ephesus. And in Ephesus, go and read the story sometime there. Paul goes down to Ephesus, and in Ephesus, he discovers 12 disciples. Now these men are described as disciples. They were part of a church. When I say part of a church, I mean they were part of the church. They were saved. They were redeemed. If they were disciples, that means that their life, they had begun to follow the way of Jesus. They were disciples. These people were redeemed. They were saved. They belonged to the family of God. And Paul says to them, "Have you?" This is so telling. Paul says to them, Have you received the Spirit since you were saved?" Now, he could not have been saying, "Did you get saved without the Holy Spirit?" Because the Bible tells us you cannot be saved except the Spirit woos you, and the Spirit of Christ, his Spirit, breathes in. That's how you were saved, by the Spirit of Christ. But he says to them, "Have you received the Spirit since you were saved?" And they said, "No." He laid hands on them. Here's what it says. It says, "And they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues and to prophesy." Why? Because there are two experiences. And what I want you to know this morning, those of you who have had this experience, and that I want you to be confident in your understanding of the baptism and the Holy Spirit. It is not some fringe belief, as you may have been made out to believe. It's not some, you know, some them strange ones that are out there on the fringe. Listen, baptism in the Holy Spirit is central to the life of the disciples in the New Testament, and it is central to the life of those who want to be fully used by God in their life. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. The other thing I want you to know this morning, the other thing I want you to know this morning is this, is that if you're here this morning and you have not experienced both salvation and receiving the Spirit and baptism in submersion and under the influence and total control of the Spirit, I want you this morning to know that there, listen, Jesus said, you need to have my Spirit breathed into you that you might have eternal life, and you need to come under the complete total control of, let me submerge you, let me baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now this is probably not revelation to very many of you here, but I would suspect that there are some here in the morning, this morning, that have never seen it lined out that way. They've never understood fully that's what they're talking about. Yes, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Why would he do this? Why would he save and redeem us and then also baptize us in the Holy Spirit? Why the two things? Why the two experiences? Well, flip back one page, and Jesus tells us very clearly. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says it very clearly. But you will receive power. Say power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You understand what he's saying here? I said it a moment ago. What Jesus is saying here is, what Jesus understands and wants us to understand is that when you are saved, the life of God has been breathed into you. That is the Spirit of God. You have received his Spirit, comes and lives inside of you, but he also wants you to be under the control of the Holy Spirit that comes when you completely surrender to him and become submerged under the Holy Spirit so that you might live that life in such a way that the world knows that Jesus Christ is alive, that he saves and he redeems and he transforms lives, and they can see it because they see the power with which you are living your life. Sometimes we interpret witness through a narrow scope. And we think witness is me going to, or I'm sorry, we think witness is only me going to someone and saying to them, do you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Now listen to me, that is absolutely crucial and a vital part of witnessing. But may I tell you something, that long before you have the opportunity to do that, they need to see that your life is a witness to the transforming power of God. And that comes when you are totally and completely under the control of the Holy Spirit. Two experiences, both of them for every single believer that will accept them. That then begs the question this morning, why are there such hindrances to the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why are there such hindrances to the baptism? And I think there are two things. And I'm just teaching this morning. I think there are two things, two reasons that rise to the top. There are all kinds of reasons. There's probably as many reasons as there are people. But there are two things that rise to the top. One reason so many people are hindered, and this is both from what I observe in general and from 32 years of ministry now, there are two reasons that rise to the top, and one of them is this. There is a biased teaching against the baptism in the Holy Spirit that goes on in many churches today. There's no easy way. That's not a dig at anybody. You understand what I'm saying? That's not a dig at anybody. That's not a slap. There is a biased teaching against the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because you and I can stand or sat right here this morning and have walked it through just these few scriptures, and you and I, all, you can see from the Bible, not because Glenn said it, but from the Bible, you can see how this has worked out in the disciples' life, and when you read through the book of Acts, you can see how it's worked out over and over and over again, and yet there is a biased teaching against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. in many circles today. And I would venture to say that many of you this morning have sat under some of that teaching. And try as you may, it hinders, right? It hinders. Because many have been taught against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And yet, how interesting is it that when you look at Christianity as a whole, that the fastest growing segment over the last 100 years in Christianity is that segment that are Pentecostal and charismatic in belief and believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do you know why that is? Because they've been empowered to be living witnesses for Jesus Christ. And let me say something about that. That does not mean that everybody who's baptized in the Holy Spirit is a perfect person. Doesn't mean that people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit don't do some stuff sometime, right? But any more than you would reject the salvation of the Lord because you see someone that's a hypocrite, nor should you reject the baptism of the Spirit because you see somebody that is supposedly Spirit baptized that's not living like it in that moment. Amen? There is a biased teaching against it. The second reason, and I hope that I've helped, it's just in a small way. There's much more, and we've been talking about it for weeks now. But just in a small way, I hope that this teaching this morning has helped you to kind of weed through and walk through some of that this morning. But the second is just as significant, maybe not quite as large, but possibly quite right there, one and two, maybe one and one A, is an apprehension about the supernatural. An apprehension about supernatural, particularly an apprehension about tongues. There's this apprehension about what is God going to do to me, right? What's going to happen? What's God going to do? And there's this apprehension about the supernatural. Because if you've been around Pentecost at all, you've seen people spirit-filled, but you see people speak in tongues, you've seen them give words, you've seen them being slain in the Spirit, and there's this apprehension about the supernatural. And if I can I just maybe in a small way help alleviate some of that? Listen, the supernatural that you see when the Spirit comes is nothing more than a miracle of God and nothing less. For example, tongues. And by the way, I'm going to teach in depth on tongues. If you have wondered about tongues, you need to be here Wednesday night. This Wednesday night, I'm going to dive into it in depth. We're going to talk about four uses, four ways that tongues is active in the believer's life. I'm going to open it up to questions. I'm going to teach on it. I'm going to open it up to, if you've got questions about it, come bring them all this morning. What I can't answer, Geraldine will. But let me say this morning about the apprehension about the supernatural. Tongues, I know it sounds strange. I know it sounds odd, and I wouldn't embarrass her for nothing. But when Madison operated in the gift of tongues a while ago and then the interpretation came, you understand that all that is a miracle of language. That's all it is. It's a miracle of language. It is God moving in language in a way that is beyond Madison, beyond what she understands, beyond what she knows. It's just simply a miracle of language. And me giving the interpretation to a language that's all it is. It's a miracle of language that the Holy Spirit dropped into my heart. The meaning of a language. She spoke a language she didn't know. I interpreted a language I didn't know. All it is a miracle of language. That's all it is. It's nothing to be afraid of. Is that, I don't know about you, when I got that, it just made it so simple. It's a miracle of language. And I'll talk more about that as we on Wednesday, I'll talk some more. But here's what I want you to understand and know. When God moves in a way that is beyond what you understand, it's simply a miracle. In fact, think about it for a moment. Think of how many miracles we've seen over the last several years. Financial miracles, physical miracles, miracles of health, miracles of deliverance from death, miracles of being saved from... Listen, you wouldn't reject those miracles because you didn't understand them, would you? I mean, think about it this morning. I mean, Dallas has got a fine truck. He likes his truck. But if I said to Dallas, hey, you know, if somebody walks up to Dallas and just and says, hey man, I like your truck, but here's the keys to a 2017 Chevrolet Silverado, leather seats, the whole bit. I don't think Dallas would say, well, I don't understand that. I don't think I want it. I don't understand that. I don't think I want it. No, that's not for me. Right? What would that be? That would be a miracle beyond Dallas's understanding. I got to tell you, somebody did it to me. I wouldn't understand it either, but I'd take it. You know what I'm saying? And so it is with healing. I mean, think about it a moment. Anybody here been healed? Anybody here been healed? I mean, you know, you can point to a time. God healed me in that moment. Anybody been healed? Did you understand it? But did you accept it? Did you receive it? So it is with all of the supernatural. Can I tell you, I hope this helps you not just with tongues, but with God moving in general. Listen, all the supernatural of God is just a miracle. It is God moving in the fire. In fact, when God moves, when God, the infinite God, moves in the finite, when the super God moves in the natural, it has to be miraculous because a divine God is moving in a man's life in a way that I cannot explain. So what I'm telling you this morning is to take the shadow or the cloak or the mystery off of this stuff about, you know, when God gives a word of prophecy. How did he know that? Anybody had somebody that you trust? Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that you got to know the source. I agree with that. You absolutely know who it is that's operating in the gifts. And we're going to talk about that some probably next week. But here's the point that I made. Anybody ever received a word from God? Somebody spoke into your life. They had no way of knowing that about your life. It was a word of knowledge. It spoke directly to a situation in your life. They had no way of knowing it, but it spoke truth. It gave you hope or gave you an answer in your life. Anybody here this morning, right? Did you understand that? Did you understand that? But did you receive that? Oh yeah, man, I'm receiving that. I'm accepting that into my life. And so there is this bias of teaching-wise, and there's this apprehension about the supernatural. Can I tell you, God, Jesus Christ is the baptizer. He is submerging you in the precious Holy Spirit. There's a lot about that you are not going to understand. But I want you to know this morning, it is just a miracle of God working in your life. So you can take that, you can take that miracle off. So what, Pastor, what do we do with that? What do we do that in life? Can I tell you what I want to see you do? And if I can have somebody come. In fact, can we sing this welcome, Holy Spirit? Can we sing that this morning? If some of the praise team will come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This morning, here's what I want to say to you this morning. Is that here this morning in this place, I'm sure there are some that are here this morning that have been held back in, that you feel held back because of some maybe previous teaching that you've had. And this morning, I want to pray over you about that. And can we just be honest? I'm not going to do a heads bowed, eyes closed thing this morning. But are there any here this morning that you would just witness, Pastor, I feel hindered. Maybe you have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or maybe you have and you just fully still don't fully understand it, and you still feel held back by some of that teaching, that biased teaching. Is anybody here that would just admit that? Pastor, there's been some of that teaching in my life, and I just feel sometimes hindered by it. No, I'm amazed. I would suggest to you that there probably is more than you're willing to admit. And are there any here that are here this morning that maybe there's some apprehension? Anybody here this morning that's willing to admit, maybe I should have done a head bowed, eye closed, eye thing. But I just want you to be honest this morning. I just want that to say, Pastor, I feel uncertain sometimes about the supernatural. When the tongues are given or the word of prophecy is given, anybody here just want to say, Pastor, I just feel some apprehension about that sometimes. Anybody? Yeah. And there's more. Thank you for being honest. There's a lot more here this morning too. Pastor, why do you point? Because here's what I want to say to you this morning. Seek the Holy Spirit. Seek the Holy Spirit. Begin to say to Him, Lord, I want to come under the full, complete submersion and submission to the Holy Spirit. I need that power to live the life that you've given me, that you put inside of me. I need the power to live that and to be a witness. And you will find the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And if you've run into some roadblocks on how to do that, I'd be glad to us talk about that and me pray personally with you about that. If you want to do that, send me a text, send me an email, give me a phone call. We can sit. I would love the honor and the privilege to walk. If you've run into kind of some roadblocks there in your life, the main thing is this: as you look through the biblical record in Acts, they were seeking, they were going after God. Can I tell you this morning? Seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Ask God, Lord, don't take my, Lord, I want you to do what Matthew 11 says. I want you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit and fire. There's no mystery about that. There's no uncertainty about that. There's no misgivings or questions about it. I want you to do what you said you were going to do. Seek Him. For some of you, that may mean that you're doing it in your own personal prayer time. Geraldine is very private in her. She experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She's alone at home by herself. Actually, she was babysitting someone at the time. This is before we had kids. She locked herself in the bathroom. She put the baby down to sleep. And then she locked herself in the bathroom and said, God, I want you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And she had that experience with the Lord, and that prayer language came. For me, it was very public. It was at an altar, in a service. And I don't pretend to put my experience or Geraldine's experience on you, but I know this. Matthew 3:11 is true. Jesus Christ wants to baptize you in the Spirit and fire. If you'll seek Him, He will do so. You don't have to be hindered by something that you've been taught, and you don't have to be hindered by being apprehensive about the supernatural. It's just God's miracle of working in your life. So here's what I want us to do this. I want us to sing this song. I know it's a little after 12. I don't often hold you long. But here's what I want to do. I just want us to stand, and I want us to sing this song. And I want this to be an kind of initiation, if you will. And I want to pray over you. I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to sing this song together. And I just want you to just invite the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Father God, I come to you right now. And I just, Lord, this moment that we are at right now, as I've prayed and I've sought you this week, this is the way I felt like you would have me bring this service, Lord, to a point. Lord, I know that in our midst this morning, there are some that are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, maybe they've had teaching that they don't understand, that has confused them. Maybe they're, Lord, apprehensive about all of this supernatural stuff that's going on, or maybe there's other reasons that have nothing to do with anything that I've taught this morning. But I pray this morning, the Holy Spirit, that you would loose those shackles, that you would break those bondages off, that you would remove those roadblocks and those hindrances in their lives, Lord God. And let us, Lord, as a people, experience what it says about you, that you are the baptizer, that you baptize in spirit and in fire. And Lord, we want your spirit in our lives. And we want to be submerged in your spirit, and so that our lives, Lord, not only have your life, but we live your life, God, in a powerful and mighty way. So as an act of faith on that, God, we sing this song this morning, the close of this service, that just says, welcome, Holy Spirit. And to some this morning, Lord, that's a welcoming you to come and refill them. And to some, God, it's a welcoming you to come, Lord, and to fill them, to baptize them. And for some, God, maybe some other work that they need, that you need you to do in their lives. But we welcome you here, Holy Spirit, this morning. Move. Accept this as an invitation to move in our lives, not just in this service, but in our lives, Lord. Bring us into the fullness of our experience and relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Will you just once, a time or two through, would you just, as an invitation, as an act of your faith, you know, sometimes you have to put your faith in action. As an act of your faith this morning, will you sing this song this morning that welcomes the Holy Spirit?
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living hope.
Yes. Yes.
Your presence, Lord.
Yes, come on, sing it this morning. Yes.
Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this.
Yes. Yes.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Yes. Yes. Let it be your invitation. Sing it, Holy Spirit.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Yes.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome.
Sing that chorus again. Sing that chorus again. Yes, oh Lord, this morning, God, right now, God, in this place, I pray that you will quicken and draw and ignite a desire for your Holy Spirit in our lives, God. And that, Lord, as people, Lord, as they begin to seek you, some, Lord, may have questions and they may come. Others may, Lord, in their private time, Lord, as they begin to seek you, God, I pray that you would honor that, Lord, as you said you were, by baptizing them in the Holy Spirit and fire in their lives, Lord, that we may be empowered to be your witnesses, both in our life and with our life, Lord. Thank you, and I praise you for it. Lord, I'm looking for us, Lord, to be people of the Spirit, God, where you move in our lives in powerful and mighty ways. God, I pray a special prayer this morning for the young people that are here, God. For the young people here, God, baptize them in the Holy Spirit, God. Lord, empower their lives at an early age, God, so that their testimony, God, will be that they haven't had to live through all of these scars and this stuff, but they've lived a powerful life for you, God. Lord, baptize our children in the Spirit, God. What a witness, God. Baptize our children in the Spirit, God. And those, Lord, of Lord, that maybe adults here that haven't experienced the baptism, God, Lord, sometimes it's the hardest for them, God. Remove those obstacles and baptize them in the Spirit, God. And let those, Lord, that have experienced your Spirit live full. Live full, God, of your Spirit, Lord. We thank you. We praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. I want to say again to you, if you have questions, if you have run into roadblocks, you want to explore this more, please let me know. I'll be honored. God, Jesus Christ wants to baptize you in the Spirit. Second thing is this. If you've ever had questions about tongues, please be here Wednesday night. Do what you have to get here. We're going to explore it deeper, in a deeper way. Till I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you. Thank you.